You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome to a new episode of Delirious Nomads, brought to you by Blacklight Media Records, a weekly podcast hosted by yours truly, celebrity chef Chris Santos. I hate calling myself that. And underground metal connoisseur Matt Bacon, who loves being called that. This is your new favorite podcast for all things heavy metal, as well as breakdowns of your favorite combat sports and riffing on some food talk every week with very special guests from across the globe. What's up? John LaMacchia is here. Johnny, what's happening, man?
You know, hanging in there, trying to make every single day count, as challenging as that may be, considering our current situation. But, you know, trying to wake up every day and get shit done and be productive and creative and live my best life.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, it's been a really tough year, but you've really been busy. I mean, you've been keeping yourself really busy. Talk about some of the projects you've been involved in. And I know you have a new single that just came out, but talk about all the projects you've been a part of this the past 8 months or so.
Well, I've been really focusing on my main music project right now, which is Spilacopa. And I've been putting out music under that moniker for a very long time. And this year I've just been very productive, and I've been putting out singles and cover songs and just trying to be creative and put some really good music out into the world, some really cool video content, and kind of cracking away at it and sort of planting seeds for what will happen, you know, hopefully when things go back to the new normal. Let's call it the new normal, because I don't think it'll ever be what it was, but, you know, sort of planting the seeds. And some great news on my end. I just started working with a really great record company from Brooklyn, New York, called Aqualam Records. And there's some really good people over there. And we're working on ideas to kind of like put together a full-length record that will potentially lead up to a book, and also possibly some other physical formats, like potentially vinyl and CD. But the main focus will be a book, which I'm really excited about. I've never done anything like that. So, and I also linked up with Chris Enriquez, Power Child Management, and he's taken me on as an artist. He's got some really great ideas. I'm really impressed by his forward thinking and his just his idea about the big picture, which I guess it's a good time to just, you know, let you know now. One of the things that we were discussing and one of the things that we kind of landed on was the fact that I'm no longer going to be using the Spilacopa moniker. I'm just going to be going by my own name, John LaMacchia. I'm going to be using that for my own solo music from now on. And at least in the beginning of the new year, that'll be the way we're presenting this music. And I think it's an important step in the right direction, because it's just so difficult to navigate and sort of cut through the noise, you know, and having just another new band name is just, it's just so much more complicated. And this really is my own solo music, so why not just use my name? And Chris really, you know, spoke to me and the guys at Aqualam, and we had a big talk about it. And he was really he made some really great points about it. So I'm really glad to have him on my team.
That's amazing. Going back to our trip to Atlantic City with Jeff from Lucky 13, it makes me want to call you Johnny New Name now.
You can call me any. I'll always respond, because I'll always remember the joke. Those were simpler times.
When you say you're doing a book, are you talking about, like, is it going to be like an art books type situation, or is it going to be like nonfiction, or like, what does that mean?
It is going to be a book, more like an art book with some written content, but mostly based on the lyrical content. I also have been drawing and making visual art pretty much my whole life. So the label also took an interest in that. We want to combine all of those things. You know, it'll be a book with, you know, obviously the download for the album. And then it'll be, within the book will be different aspects of my, you know, the different mediums I create on. I'm a photographer, I'm a visual artist, I'm a graphic designer. I've been drawing my whole life, as I mentioned. And there's like lyrical content. And there'll also be like memorabilia from like the recording process, imagery of the band, the members, the people that are collaborating with me on some of the songs. You know, so we really haven't begun the creative process for the book yet. That's like a whole new thing that I'm super psyched about. But that's really the gist of it. That's really what the basis of it will be.
Very cool.
Very, very, very cool.
Yeah.
You did some, at least one or two of the two minutes to late night sessions, didn't you?
I did one. So I was asked to do one so far, but I've been hitting up Guarsenio being like, yo, man, I need to come back and do another one. He's got me in the fold. He's got so many people he's working with. I mean, I can't believe some of the people he's got, you know, playing on his show, but doing the one song that I did, I think we did a Danzig cover, from what I remember. It was so much fun. Gina from Baroness is such an incredible guitar player. You know, I've been playing guitar for a very, very long time. But at a certain point in my career as a guitar player, it became more about composition to me and songwriting and like writing the right parts. Not so much like dexterity and like shredding. That's not really my cup of tea as much as it was, I'd say, 10 years ago or whatever. And I still hold my own. You know, I think I still hold my own. But to play with her, she's like such a great player. And she's done amazing stuff. Like she's played guitar for, what is that? Cirque du Soleil. She's a guitar player for that.
Oh, wow.
Did you know? It's like crazy to me. She played her resume is like ridiculous. I'm super impressed by her. And she's a super cool person. And like everyone else involved in that whole project, we had so much fun. Santos from Old Man Gloom, someone who I admire as a musician. He's such a cool guy. And he's a good friend. It enables you to play music with people that like you just normally don't get to just play with. And it's like a really fun thing. And I think that's the cool thing about this whole situation. It's created sort of a network of musicians just kind of working together that would never have the opportunity to do so. But we're forced to. So in a way, I guess that's the silver lining of it, I think.
It's been amazing watching how the metal world, at least, has pivoted and, you know, come up with other ways to be creative. I'll tell you, man, though, it's nothing. I'm dying to see a show. I'm dying to see a show. And I really, one thing, you know, that we keep talking about, you know, I just shut down, we just shut down everything in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God, man.
I mean, completely shut down. So we laid off everybody yesterday. But, you know, we're really positive that when things get back to the new normal, we think we're going to be busier than ever because people are, you know, are just going to come out in droves. And I think the same thing's going to happen, obviously, in the music industry. I think the concert, you know, there's going to be so many shows, you know, in 2022, let's say, especially in markets like New York or Los Angeles or, you know, the bigger markets. There'll be a different show to go to every night if you want to.
Yeah, sure.
I think that's the one silver lining is we got to get through this dark winter. But once we do and the vaccine is out, I think your industry, I mean, and a little bit, it's a little bit of mine, but my industry and the music industry, both are going to come back really super strong, I think.
I really do appreciate your positivity. And I know that like, you know, look, just getting personal about our personal relationship as friends, you know, I've had some really dark moments as of late. It's hard to keep the sort of energy and positivity going when you could basically slip into like a nihilistic state and just be like, fuck everything. I don't give a shit anymore. And I find myself on the edge of that sometimes because, you know, whatever, it is what it is. It's a fucking, we're in this crazy moment in the world. As a friend, I appreciate your positivity. And you're always like telling me, dude, we're going to be good. It's just going to be a tough winter. We got to get through that. But it's going to be great. Everything's going to be great in the end. And it's like, it's so important to have good people in your life reminding you that like, you know, things are going to be okay. It's like everything else. It always, you know, we're going to figure this out, you know, and we'll get through it. We have, I mean, it's been how many months already?
9.
Jeez, it feels like.
I saw Kiss at the Staples Center on March 5th and uh-huh. I came the next day and started developing symptoms. So that was basically 9 months to
do that. I remember, I was just thinking about like, you were so, oh my God, you were so sick.
Yeah, I was sick.
And you were stuck in that hotel room.
Yeah, no, yeah.
For how long, right?
Long time, very long time. Let's talk about good things. So you're all right. You know, Mike MacGyver from Candiria, he just played on your new single. I want to talk about that new single, but also Mike always seems to kind of find his way into your music a little bit. You guys still, how many years have you guys been working together?
Me and Mike have been working together for, let's see, I would say since I'm about, I think maybe 17, so 30 years I've been playing music with that guy. And for the most part, pretty much, almost every band I've ever been in. I mean, look, he's like family to me. He's like a brother to me. His family is like family to mine. So, yeah, I mean, and he's a great player and he's a great friend. And, you know, when I get together with him, it's just a really natural, easy way to, you know, communicate an idea to someone and they just know you well enough. They know me. He knows me well enough, you know, to be just like, I get it. I get what you want. And he's such a fantastic player and he has great taste in music. In my opinion, I think he has, we really see eye to eye on a lot of other different bands and artists that we had admired over the years, even though our tastes changed a little bit here and there. And there are places where we, you know, we don't see eye to eye musically, but for the most part, when it comes to writing music and performing music, we really do come together, I think, really well. And I'm very lucky to have him at my disposal, basically. And for me to be like, hey, man, this is something I'm working on. You into it? And if he says, if he's into it, he's like, yeah, dude, I'm in. Let's do this. But sometimes he's like, no, I'll pass on that. You know, when it goes a little bit far out of like the zone where he's like super psyched about it, I think he's smart in that way because he doesn't want to invest himself and force himself to play something that would be sort of unnatural for his playing. But yeah, he's just fantastic, man. And I think he really, really shines on that song with that beautiful Ovation fretless bass. It's like such a beautiful instrument and he nails it. It's crazy.
Talk about the song.
Sun is a song by a band called Deconstruction that was formed by Eric Avery and Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction. Shortly after Jane's Addiction broke up in the early 90s, they formed Deconstruction. And they basically just went into a studio and wrote a record. And it was overlooked by most Jane's Addiction fans, most people in general. And Deconstruction never made another album together. But it turned out to be, in my opinion, one of the best records to come out of LA in the history of all music, in my opinion. Especially in that era, like the 90s era of music. That record is still like, I mean, it's to me, it's everything I want in an album experience. It's you can listen to it so many times and just hear new layers of things. They were doing things that were, they didn't like reinvent the wheel or anything, but they were doing things for that style of music that were very different for bands that were putting out stuff in the 90s. They were doing a lot of sampling and they were like looping in like movie themes and like different scenes from movies. And like you would hear it. And then it was crazy for me because I would like try to figure out what the hell movie that is, you know, and it turns out it's, you know, Wings of Desire, one of my favorite movies, you know, from that era as well. So they were doing really interesting things. And the album, in my opinion, is just incredible. And it was like just this really beautiful cinematic record, but it still had those like Jane's Addiction style riffs and like it had his playing. And it's just such a super cool record. The song itself, Sun, is a very simple song. It's just guitars and Eric Avery's voice, and it's very mellow, and there's some like other sonic textures in it, but it's super mellow. I knew that like when I wanted to cover the song, because I feel Eric Avery's voice and my voice, it's a similar sort of like timbre or a similar range. I was like, I want to make this into a rock song. I want to fucking put some balls behind some of this stuff. So I just worked on it and figured out a way. I kept the key and I kept the vocal melodies and that's it. Everything else I just turned into like some kind of like typo negative style, you know, dirgy rock tune. And that was my take on it.
It's great, man. It's great. And also having seen, you know, I think I, for the most part, been a part of, you know, when you really started focusing on singing and your voice has come so far. It's not even funny.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it so much.
Really good. Really good stuff. I feel like we're blocking Matt out of the conversation. Matt, jump in here.
All good. I wanted to circle back to the relationship with Mike, because to have like a 30-year relationship like that, that's kind of been, like you said, it's been through every project. It wasn't like there was some sort of like breakup. And was there a point, and this is kind of a weird question, but I'm always curious about this. Was there a point when you were teenagers where like you were sort of like, oh, okay, like me and this guy are like gonna just do stuff forever? Like, was there a point when it was like, ah, yes, this is my guy?
Yeah, and it's funny, and it actually circles back to Jane's Addiction, which is a really weird thing, because at the time when I met him, we were both playing in different hardcore bands. I was playing in a band called Patterns, and he was playing in a band called Judgment Day, from what I remember. We were backstage, and this is just before I didn't meet him yet, or I just met him, and he started playing 3 days from Jane's Addiction on bass. And I was like, this is just when Jane's Addiction was like, at that point, everyone was just like changing their sort of, I think their taste, like at least in my, in the, like the hardcore community, a lot of people were getting into Jane, bands like Jane's Addiction and Nine Inch Nails and the early 90s, the very early 90s records that were coming out, bands like Ministry. And, you know, so when he played that, I was like, whoa, man, that guy knows how to play that cool bass line. And like, no one else here, everybody's into hardcore and like these like crushing riffs or whatever. So that was a big moment for me where I was like, man, this dude is so cool. And then we started talking. And by the end of the day, we were like, okay, we got to just like be friends and like hang out. And then we wound up playing in bands. And then we just, here we are today. And I guess that was that moment. If there was one moment that I can look back on when I was a teenager, it was that moment with me and him where we're like, okay, I see you, man, you know?
It's cool because that's like so much of what I love about music. It's like one riff and then suddenly you're like, yeah, okay. You know, it's not even like, yeah. Oh, we like the same band. It's just like, oh, no, you also fuck heavy with that riff. So now we're friends.
Right, exactly.
And it's the best part.
Yep.
It's funny because I remember seeing Candiria for the first time at Urban Plaza, I want to say, opening for Clutch in like 94 or 95 or 96. And I'm, you know, a mediocre drummer, but I love drums. And so when I go to a show, I'm typically fixated on the drummer for the most part. I mean, obviously, it's different if there's a really great front man or woman or whatever. But you know, I would say I probably spend 60% of my time at a show watching the drummer. And
sure,
I was in the very front, right up against the stage or the barrier. And I remember I was just mesmerized by Mike. I was just mesmerized by his playing and like how much fun he was having and just the way he puts his whole body into when he plays. And I just remember being like, wow, this guy, this bass player is incredible. Like I remember that like it was yesterday. And one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Yeah. He's a great guy. He's a fantastic human being. He's got a great family and he's a great friend. He really is. He's like just a stand-up guy too. But you know, he is a really interesting bass player. He has a very strange take on creating bass lines and the way he writes. He's a very unique, in my opinion, Candiria has a lot of unique qualities. But like, I don't think people realize how important his bass playing is, because a lot of the time, and this is not a knock on any bass player out there in the world, because sometimes it's just the right thing to do. But most of the time in metal music, bass players are really following along a lot to what the guitar player is doing. And Mike is always finding his own way, really connecting with the drummer and just building bass lines based on the drum feel. And it's a unique thing that I don't think, I wish more bands did it. But in a way, I'm like, I don't want to, you know, if that's like a secret little weapon, then let's not let the whole world know. But he is, Mike. I can't say enough good things about him.
Absolutely. And like, you even can tell that in the bass, even from the first, like even on Surrealistic Madness, you know, you mm-hmm. can sort of be like, you hear that record and knowing kind of where you guys come from,
mm-hmm.
even then you can kind of be like, oh, wait a second. This is not what everyone else signed up for. This is another thing.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
I mean, you and I have talked about this kind of, people out there that are listening may not know how, you know, John and I are very, very close and talk very often. So we've talked about this, but you want to just talk about what's happening with Candiria and, you know, or if anything's, you foresee anything happening in the future?
I mean, like, you know, I it's funny because I just recently, me and Mike and Ken, the original drummer from Candiria, were texting. And there's been a song that's been bouncing around for quite some time. It's something that I composed this piece of music years ago. And I sent it to Ken because we share, me and him at this point, me and Ken always recorded a lot of music together. And a lot of that music that we recorded in our own little home recording studios wound up on the record. And we were the only ones that had those types of setups. So, you know, if everyone in the band did, I'm sure other people's home recordings would have wound up on the albums. But me and Ken particularly were big into recording. So this is a song that I sent Ken many years ago, and it's a song called Triple X, and it's inspired by a Miles Davis piece of music from the fusion, Miles Davis fusion era, like the weird tripped out, jazzy, crazy rock fusion stuff that he was doing, like, you know, like the Bitches Brew era stuff. The title's inspired by a song called Rated X that he put out. So I titled it Triple X, and it may change, who knows. But it's a kind of like a jazz, rock jazz fusion piece of music. And it's really spacey and like in, it's kind of like fun and free. So that's floating around. And we'll see. I mean, there is some conversation about something coming out in the future. We just don't know what or when. And right now we're just kind of like having some fun. I know Ken is also working on, he's putting out like these drum playthrough videos that me and Mike are participating on. Like kind of like talking about his drumming throughout the years of Candiria and like playing through some of the more popular songs, like from albums like 300% Density and some of the older stuff. And eventually I hope he gets to like an album like What Doesn't Kill You, which I know that Chris, that was one of the records that I think me and you, when I first met you, that didn't come out. That came out around the time we met you. And when we first really started hanging out and talking about music and becoming friends. So I think eventually he'll work his way up to that. Right. But that's basically what we got going on. In 2021, there's going to be a big thing happening with one of the records we put out. It's the 20th anniversary for that album, 300% Density. And there's going to be, I don't know if I'm able to speak about it, but there will be a vinyl release of that album through a European label, which I don't remember the name right now, but the guy, the owner, this guy Virgil, is a really good friend of mine. And there will be a bunch of coverage about the album around that time when it came out, which I think is May.
Actually, I have a question. I remember a couple of years ago, you and Jeff were kicking around doing like an outdoor music festival kind of thing on that block.
Yeah.
It obviously happened, but is that something that could still happen in the future? I mean, I think when the world comes back to normal, that would be something that would be like insane.
Well, you know, it's funny because I wound up having a podcast of my own for a short period of time called the Brooklyn Blast Furnace Podcast. And it was me and Jeff and this guy, Jimmy Ferrari, who is someone I know for a very long, very long time. And the reason that podcast was formed was because we were trying to do this street festival on Sackett Street, where Lucky 13 Saloon is. And we started the podcast to promote it, you know, to get the initial concept was we were going to promote this thing. We were going to get all the bands on. And the podcast was the way we were going to promote and talk about all the artists that were performing. They were going to be the guests. It was this whole concept. You know, we just couldn't pull off there were too many, Jeff couldn't get the permits. We couldn't get they wouldn't give us the community board wouldn't approve it. It was all of these things that just we couldn't make happen. And unfortunately, it never happened, but we wound up with a podcast that, you know, I stuck with for a while, but I was like, you know, I didn't get into this to do a podcast. I got into this to do like a festival of some sort. And, but Jimmy still has a podcast. It's really cool. He always has great guests on. It's called the Brooklyn Blast Furnace. And if you're into like horror, hardcore, underground music, you should check it out. You know, it's a really cool podcast.
Cool.
I think I'm on the first 50 episodes with him.
Wow.
Whoa. Wow. Amazing. Funny that the invitation to be a guest must have gotten lost in the mail. Anyway.
I think we did try to get you on at one point. It just wasn't working out as far as like your schedule and our schedule. Yeah. We tried to get you on, and I think we tried to get Brian Slagle on together at one point. It never panned out.
What's happening with your label, Rising Cults?
Not much. I just, last year, was it 2019? I put out the 10th anniversary of the Bad Wife, Julie Christmas, the Bad Wife record. I put that out. I put out that in 2019. Then the pandemic happened and kind of thwarted a bunch of different things that I had in the works, simply because it was impossible to, you know, get any records pressed. You know, like I had all of these ideas, and from the fiasco, like the insane amount of trouble I had shipping records overseas, I was like, I'm not even doing this. I can't do it. It's crazy. I just can't. So I really pumped the brakes there for a minute, and I just decided that I was going to wait until things calmed down a little bit. Now things are picking up. I have this cassette that's slated to come out. We're not exactly sure what the date is yet, but it's going to be early February. I have a limited cassette run coming out. This artist, Lee Bartow, this guy that I know, he does all kinds of really cool music and like noise and like industrial music. And he was part of this project, and it's called With Love Is Nothing. And it's a really cool record that I played guitar in a couple of songs. My friend Mike from the band Tombs played on a couple of songs. And it's really cool if you're into like hard industrial, like, I don't know, I hate to compare it to anything, but if you're into industrial music, it's a really cool album. It's more than that, but I mean, it's definitely in that realm of industrial, ambient, dark, weird, heavy, crushing shit, like Youth Code and Street Sex, bands like that. So that's really what I have going on. And then I know the Candiria record is going to come out. The repressing of 300% Density is going to come out in May. And I'm going to really be like putting out like a bunch of merch for that and doing a bunch of stuff here. And I'll have the record available through Rising Pulse as well. But that's all I have planned right now, you know?
My last thing, we're coming up, we only have about 7-8 minutes left, but I know that you are a movie buff.
Oh, yeah.
What have you been watching during this pandemic to kind of get you through? What's been your favorite couple of movies?
I rewatched Bone Tomahawk, which I think is one of the coolest movies ever. It's like a Western horror. Somehow those two genres came together with this one. And it's got such a cool cast, and it's a great story. It's super cool, man. It's so fucking cool. I love it. I also watched this movie called Pieces of April, which what's her name? She was married to Tom Cruise for a while.
Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Katie Holmes is the star. I got you. Thank you. And she's like this. They call her like a wayward young girl. She's like the black sheep of the family, and she's like a punk chick, and she lives in the Lower East Side of New York City in the 90s, and they live in the suburbs. Her family lives in the suburbs, and the mother is like terminally ill. So for this Thanksgiving, April wants to have her family come into Lower East Side, and she wants to make the Thanksgiving dinner. And it's a complete fiasco, and I'll just give you like the first thing that happens is her stove doesn't work. So she turns on the stove and she can't make the stove work. So now she's got to like knock on the doors in the building to all these strangers and ask if they can help. And I watched that on Thanksgiving. And it really like, it kind of was a very uplifting, cool movie. And I really enjoyed it. If you're a fan of like Wes Anderson and John Waters, it might be something. It's a really great soundtrack, like really cool, obscure, like 80s, 90s, I guess, dark wave or like, I don't know, dark rock or whatever, but a really cool soundtrack and a really great movie. And also, if you didn't watch The Queen's Gambit, that series on Netflix, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
I thought it was really fucking cool, man. It was a really cool, really cool series. I really enjoyed it. It's a really cool, cool thing.
Got it.
Do you have any sort of final things you want to plug before we have to wrap this up? Anything that we need to be aware of that's happening in 2021 at this point, basically?
I will be putting out music under my name, John Lamacchia, my actual name, on Aqualam Records. And I'll be working toward a full-length album that will also include a book. That's what I have planned for the year. And I really hope people check it out and just keep up with me and see what I'm working on.
How can people find out about music?
They can hit me up on Instagram. My name, John Lamacchia, or they can check out Candiria. I'm always posting stuff about my personal endeavors on the Candiria Instagram. They can find me on Facebook. You know, those are the two main. I'm not a big Twitter guy. I don't really tweet. Don't TikTok me because I ain't there. I don't like none of that stupid, kind of weird to me.
We're both of an age where I don't think TikTok is in our future. But Matt, however, has got a bright TikTok future.
I'm going to get you on TikTok, Chris. You don't want to do it, but it's going to happen.
Oh, God.
I'm like about to post a TikTok as soon as we hang up.
Cool, man. Well, thank you guys for having me.
All right. So that was awesome. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening to Delirious Nomads, sponsored by Blacklight Media. We will be coming back at you next week with another awesome guest. Be sure to follow Blacklight Media on socials for new music and more, and above all, keep it heavy.
Hey, what's up? My name's Lurk, and I'm the host of Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast. Every week, I have in-depth conversations with bands from all over the scene, big and small. We also like to keep our finger on the pulse and showcase up-and-coming bands on the show as well. So come check out Lamb Goat's Van Flip Podcast.
Hello out there!
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to Nimbus the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!